Hello, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Allegedly Astrology, where we break down the astrology that happened during some of the biggest scandals and events in history. Dana, what are we covering on this episode?
Today, we're talking about Kate Middleton with astrologer Alice Bell.
Yay, welcome, yeah. Alice.
Welcome.
So happy to have you.
So pumped.
Well, seriously. Thank you, guys. I'm excited to be here. Love going technical on these celebrity charts.
Yay. So if you don't know already, Alice is an astrologer, author, and the resident astrologer at British Vogue. So chic. So Alice, will you tell us a little bit about yourself and your big three and how you got into astrology?
Yes. So I have been a full-time astrologer for a little over five years now. My big three, I'm a Leo rising, Aquarius sun, and Pisces moon. And I got into astrology, I taught myself how to read my chart. Like, it just, the interest in it came about randomly. It was kind of triggered by wanting to know more about if this guy would text me back, kind of like triggered by love life troubles, which I feel like it is for a lot of people, and understanding, yes, like, are we compatible? Like, is this going to work out? And of course it didn't. But then that led me down a path of learning how to read my birth chart and getting practice with doing the charts of other people. And eventually that turned into my career. But yeah, I discovered astrology in January 2018 when the eclipses were in Leo and Aquarius, right on my rising and my sun.
That's cool. That's
great.
Yeah, it was like a big life change, like a total personality change that went on.
Wow, like a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay, so which house system do you use?
Whole sign. I used to use Placidus the first 2 years, and then I just started to notice. I was like, this is not making as much sense. And I switched to whole sign, and it's just way more accurate when it comes to transits, particularly.
Yes.
And also solar returns and like predictive techniques in general.
Every traditional technique, I think, I don't know if it has to be used with whole sign or if I just think that, but I do find that it only really works for me with whole sign.
Which technique?
Like anything, like sort of like all like perfection.
Yeah.
Or like another one, decennials.
Yeah, I think it's because it's all like traditional astrology and like they use the whole sign.
Maybe I'm a psycho, but visually I just like whole sign more.
Yeah.
It stresses me out less than looking at Placidus. I'm like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, it's like this sign is this house and we're moving on.
Yeah.
Did you have a mentor, Alice, or like a teacher, or did you just totally are self-taught?
So I had a therapist when I was like 23, 24, and she tried to get me into my birth chart. She like incorporated that into therapy. So technically she was the one that was like, there's this whole thing, like you have a birth chart. And I would talk to her back and forth about it, but I never took like a formal class or like course with someone. But over the years, I like have learned from a lot of different astrologers.
Amazing. And right now, you have a book out called Trust Your Timing. It's in our local bookstore. Alice and I are neighbors, so I'm very excited to see that. So can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. So Trust Your Timing, I mean, it comes out of like why I got into astrology in the first place was to understand like why was I having so many issues dating? Why was I always like the single person among my friends? And astrology really helped me find peace with myself and like a greater self-understanding. So I wanted to write a book around that topic. So a lot of the book is about looking at your birth chart through the lens of relationships and understanding why you have certain dating patterns and behaviors, how you might improve upon that or just become more aware of that moving forward. And then I also get into timing and applying transits to note times when you might have more dating activity or go through a stressful relationship period or something more positive, like getting married. Yeah. So a little bit of like birth chart and transits.
That's amazing.
I love that.
I just think that Alice is brilliant. So I think everyone should get it.
A hole in the market, says Dana. It is. It's really hard because I feel like people want to use astrology for, you know, obviously a lot of like self-understanding and understanding others. But I think a lot of people want to understand how to predict timing of major life moments, and this book seems to help people do that. So
also wondering when a guy will text you back is such a modern problem. Like the like astrology books written in like, I don't know, before like 2005 wouldn't be able to answer that question.
Yeah, exactly. So there needed to be like an updated one for the present. Also, like, I find that a lot of, like, relationship-oriented astrology books focus a ton on compatibility and, like, what signs work with that one. I did not want to do that with this book because I don't find that to be helpful. So I do go into, like, how to compare your chart, like, how to look at a synastry chart with someone and what you should prioritize. But I don't believe in, like, certain signs being compatible with others.
Same.
I love that approach. Our astrology pal, Ricky Williams, said on one of our episodes once that compatibility is a choice. And I think that's really what a lot of people should believe. So I know, like, J-Lo doesn't allow, like, Virgo dancers or something.
What? Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Like, people are a little bit crazy, but you can be compatible with a lot of people. You just have to sort of, like, understand how they process their emotions, how they communicate. Like, it's sort of the same thing with understanding any kind of romantic friendship, family relationship. But
I feel like timing is almost more important. It's like, are you both having those transits that back up you getting into a relationship?
Exactly. Timing is everything.
Yeah.
The universe backs it up. Amazing. Well, I think we're ready to dive into our episode of the day. I'll let Sarah kick it off.
Yes. So why we're all here, in case you've been living under a rock, it's come to the public's attention that until very recently, and honestly, like, it's up for debate if the photo was real or not, Kate Middleton hadn't been seen in public since Christmas, and the internet is ablaze with conspiracy theories about what has happened to her.
Yes, everything from that she had a BBL, which is a Brazilian butt lift, or a facelift, to darker rumors like her and William are getting a divorce. But we love a good moment to sleuth with astrology. So let's dive in and learn about her big three.
Okay, Kate Middleton was born on January 9th, 1982 at 7 p.m. in Reading, England, and she has a Capricorn sun, a Cancer moon, and a Leo rising. She was born on a total lunar eclipse in Cancer. So this, anyone who's born on an eclipse will probably have extreme circumstances in life, and she certainly does. And she was also born during Venus retrograde in Aquarius in her seventh house. So the seventh house is partners, and people who are born during Venus retrograde will apply pressure to themselves in relationships, and then having that in her seventh house, she'll also maybe get that pressure from her partners or opponents. Maybe it's also how she beat out all the other people vying for William's hand in marriage. Venus retrograde also rules both of her malefics, which are in Libra. So she has Mars in detriment in Libra, which avoids conflict. And she has Saturn exalted in Libra, which is diplomatic. So Saturn strengthens the detriment Mars, but Mars sort of weakens at Saturn a little bit. And she's a Leo rising, so she's royal. She's ruled by the sun in Capricorn in her sixth house of subjugation. So she's responsible of every Capricorn sun, but she's also accustomed to not having her needs met or maybe being expected to make sacrifices to maintain balance and harmony. She also has her moon in the 12th house, which is, the 12th house can be the house where you neglect things. And the moon is like your body, your feelings. So she's probably really good at compartmentalizing.
Fellow 12th house moon, feel you.
You're good at it, Catherine. Really good at it.
But Dana and Alice, you guys both have Leo risings, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that she has a Leo rising because I feel like I understand what she might be going through right now. Like, we have some difficult transits going on. So I totally feel for her.
I think it's kind of interesting looking at her chart, especially Mars and Libra in the third house, because I feel like it is, like, when you look at her, she is so royal, but now it kind of makes me think that, like, she probably does have a lot of feelings, but it might be hard for her to, like, express them, or she feels like she can't express them the easiest, which, not like I ever, like, didn't like her, but I always felt like she was just, like, a chill, cool girl, as I believe most British girls to be.
Well, she's just like, you know, she's always towed the party line, if you will, right? Like, she's always been doing all the right things at all the right times, looking perfect. Like, she came out of the hospital with all of her children, like, with a full blowout and, like, just holding these babies. Like, here I am. Like, I'm doing it. I'm doing what's expected of me. And that's like, damn, there's a lot of sacrifices that come along with that.
Yeah, for sure. So, speaking of hospital things, in 2024, Kate kicked it off with a health moment. It was reported by the Palace on January 17th that she had a planned abdominal surgery and would stay in the hospital for 2 weeks before recovering at home. And because of that, she wouldn't be at public events until Easter, which, if you are unaware, that is at the end of March. And she also wanted her medical info to remain private, so do not ask about it.
Exactly. And then, so that was January 17th. On January 29th, the palace followed up with an update that she had gone home to continue her recovery and was making good progress. But that's all they said.
Yeah. And then it got more weird because later on in February, Prince William, aka her husband, suddenly announced that he wouldn't be attending the service for his godfather, King Constantine of Greece, who died in 2023 due to what the palace called a personal matter. So kind of sketch. And then he announced this 45 minutes before the service. So he was supposed to talk there. So it is very just,
yeah, you know, he was supposed to like do a he was supposed to do a reading. Like, so it's very, it clearly was something serious that he would have pulled out of this public event. So last minute. But regardless of all of this, there are some red flags that people couldn't help but point out with this timeline and this announcement. And so some people pointed out that despite claims the surgery was planned, Kate had events on her calendar that were canceled, like including the her and Will were supposed to go to Italy. Like, so if it was planned, it was on very short notice.
And then her birthday, which happened a little bit before the surgery was announced, had like very like no one really mentioned it that much, which is weird. And she was said to be staying at her parents' house, which is also weird because she's an adult and has a castle, I assume. That she
has. And they like they were saying like she was being pampered at her parents' house, which is kind of weird for like a 39 or 40. How old is she?
40? Yeah, you probably have like foot people. What are 42? They called? Like footmen?
Footmen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's just it was a little bit weird. And then it's weird because the king, if you guys didn't know, King Charles announced that he had cancer and an enlarged prostate and like things that like royals just really don't talk about, especially a king. And so it's kind of people were finding it a little bizarre that Kate's stay in the hospital and the visits of her family and her friends like would be so much more shrouded in secrecy than the king's was, which was like very public, like, you know, all this stuff. So it was interesting. And also people were like, that's kind of like staying in the hospital for 2 full weeks, especially when you have such immense access to at-home care, is kind of, it must have been a really intense procedure. That's why there are all these sort of like rumors about it. Like my dad had open heart surgery as like a 70-year-old man, and he had like major complications and was only in the hospital for like 10 days. So, you know, she must have had
surgery, right?
Right. So it must have been like open surgery, like cutting through the muscle. Yeah, exactly. And that's like really, really hard. But anyway, we digress.
So at this point, Kate had not been seen in public at all. Like, you know, not a single blurry window photo or a car selfie pic. And given how eager the press are there and how much money they could have made off this photo, you know, this really shows that there was a special level of concealment that went into this whole situation.
Yes. And Kate, I don't know if she loves a photo op, but she's always down for them. Again, like she is down to do what the royal family asks of her. So it's weird that she wouldn't just sort of say like, okay, look at me, like here's a photo, even if it was staged, that could sort of shut down all the speculation.
So just knowing all of that, now that we're all up to date, you know, is there, let's start out by asking, like looking at her charts, is there anything that would show that she might have some health stuff going on, or if that would be like a smoke screen for something else?
Mm.
I definitely think there's some serious health stuff going on. I looked at a couple different charts for her, like with her transits. We have the ruler of her sixth house. Her sixth house is ruled by Saturn. Saturn's place in Libra. It's getting heavily affected by these Libra eclipses last fall and into 2024. So that would indicate like health just being a way bigger focus this year and changes going on there. And then also at the time of that surgery on January 17th, she had the Sun, Mercury, and Mars all moving through the sixth house too, which is really big. Like Mars going through the sixth tends to aggravate your health. And like, that's a huge one I see when people are sick and like really have to prioritize their body. Like that was an issue for me as a Leo rising at that same time. Also in her solar return chart, like her birthday just happened on January 9th. So that's when that new solar return chart for the year went into effect. And in that, she has Saturn and Neptune in the sixth as well. So that just shows there's a lot of stress and a need for structure with taking care of her body, but also being confused and maybe not having like a proper diagnosis or just like having a hard time seeing the end of the health problems. Like it's just weighing on her mm-hmm. a lot this year.
Yeah. And also like, especially with abdominal stuff and especially like if it's like anything to do with her ovaries or like anything like that or like bowels or any, like there's so much that could go wrong or maybe like she thought it was going to be a simple procedure and then it ended up being way more intense than they needed to be, which would explain like, yes, it was planned, but then that's why she had to cancel so much more after because she probably thought she might have would make a more swift recovery, but there was sort of a surprise element.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about.
Yeah, so she's in the seventh house, Aquarius, Saturn year, so speculations about like her relationship maybe not incorrect. Seventh house is marriage, contracts, business partners, lawsuits, opponents, and projections, and Saturn's about boundaries and organization. And her natal Saturn is exalted in Libra, which is the sign of relationships, in her third house of communication. So some themes like just overall for the year are relationships, publicity and reputation, discipline, resistance, connection, and action. The sun is in the fourth house of her solar return chart, which is sun in the fourth house is like hiding, shelter, and it could be also about endings. And she has a lot of Mars influence. Her progressed Mars stationed retrograde just days after her birthday on January 13th. So Mars is the planet of action, conflict, and surgery. And when a progressed planet stations retrograde or direct, that energy is really amped up in a person's life for a period of time, like a year, give or take, maybe on either side from the day that it stations. And so Saturn's also really heavy in this chart. The South Node is in Libra, conjunct her natal Saturn. And Saturn, like Alice said, rules her sixth house of illness and her seventh house of relationship. It's also the house of contracts and opponents, lawsuits. And then the South Node represents decrease. And her progressed moon was conjunct her progressed Venus in Capricorn. And that perfected on December 24th, 2023, which up until I think a few days ago was the last time people had seen her. So her progressed moon in the sixth house really reiterates the theme of illness, especially since, you know, the moon is the body. And the moon and Venus together can be about thinking about love and relationships, but it could also be about taking care of your body. Like maybe, you know, something that she needed to get done and put off for a while. But it also, I think it reflects like certain speculations about why she was away. Like people were saying that she was getting cosmetic surgery, Venus's beauty. So it could be, it could also be like people were saying that she maybe was getting treated for an eating disorder. And the moon is food and Venus is pleasure. So these could be things that are happening or they could just be the things that people are talking about.
That makes sense. Why? Like this is the speculation instead of like something more.
I think
more,
our stationing
more
really seems like a surgery. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I think she definitely had a surgery.
You don't think it was a BBL?
That would be so crazy.
If she was in Miami, yes, because this is the last stand for BBLs in this city. But I feel like if Kate got a BBL, it would be so absurd. Like, psychotic.
Plastic surgery, like, really does not take that unless you're doing, like, something really intense, which she wouldn't do at this phase of her life. So, but that's interesting that that's maybe why those speculations are coming out instead of it just being like, oh, what's wrong with her health?
Especially, well, Venus also rules her midheaven. So that's like what people are talking about. The midheaven is your career, but it's also like publicity you receive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then Mars like went on from Capricorn to be an Aquarius conjunct that Venus, which rules the midheaven. So I feel like that's why there's that continual talk of that, even though those planets have shifted out of that sixth house and now they're in Aquarius.
Yeah. Good.
Oh, yeah. So in addition to like the photos and the weirdness of her birthday, something that Dana kind of foreshadowed is that there has been a lot of speculation that her marriage with William is a little bit rocky right now. You know, there was like a cheating story involving him and one of her former friends, which like we don't know if that's true or not. But, you know, those rumors alone would like really mess with your marriage. And there also have been a lot of photos of them when they do not look happy or like they're not, you know, really touchy-feely. There's like a lot of physical distance between them. So there's kind of like a cold vibe between them right now.
Do you know when those rumors started? Was it when Mars was retrograde in her 11th house? That would have been end of 2022, beginning of 2023.
No, I think it was earlier than that. But then like the palace kind of squashed those pretty quickly, but then they may have resurfaced around that time. So this is, you know, maybe a little dark, but some people think that a lot of the negative Meghan and Harry press had to do with them trying to cover Will and Kate's cheating scandal. Or Will's cheating scandal, I should say, because it was with one of her best friends, and they are no longer friends. So It's like there was a falling out between these two women for sure. No one knows exactly about what, but it's people are putting the pieces together.
Looking at her chart and just knowing that Saturn was in her seventh house, 2021, 2022, and part of 2023, like on top of that Venus, and then the descendant line, I just feel like there are so many issues the past 2 years and stress on the relationship. So that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. And they've both been doing a lot more solo events the last few years. They're spending time away from each other. It's not like definitive, but I'm sure it can start to stack up after a while. And some people believe that this sort of like relationship being on rocky territory is linked to her current issues. Like the fact that they all kicked off just right after Christmas, which is pretty common with couples. They're like, let's just get through the holidays. Let's just do this. That doesn't really help like squash all the rumors of the timing of everything.
So we're obviously talking a lot about their relationship. So we want to just examine it a bit more, starting with their synastry. So let's look at their bi-wheel just to see like what the energy is between them.
Okay. William was born June 21st, 1982 at 9:03 p.m. in Paddington in the UK. And he has a Cancer sun and moon and a Sagittarius rising. He has Venus exactly conjunct Chiron in her natal 10th house, square her natal Venus. By sign. And so Venus square Venus in synastry can represent like a clashing of values, and his Venus would have the upper hand just because it's domicile. And 10th house synastry, the planet, like sometimes the planet person will impact the reputation of the 10th house person, or that's usually what happens. But the 10th house is titles, and so she married him and she became a duchess. And then there's a dynamic with 10th house synastry that surfaces sometimes where the 10th house, since it's the house of superiors, people who have the planet there might make the house person feel inferior, or they might patronize that person. So she might feel compelled to please him because she already sort of has this people-pleasing energy in her chart with her Venus retrograde, Trine, Mars, detriment Mars, and Libra. Those were the dynamics that really were loud to me.
Yeah. What jumped out to me was the fact, I mean, I know she has the North Node in Cancer in her 12th house natally, but with his Sun, Moon, and North Node also in her 12th house, I just find 12th house overlays very difficult with synastry. Like, usually there's a lack of trust, or it's like, does this person really understand who I am? It's kind of hard to, like, I just see maybe a dynamic of them not seeing each other. I can't find the right words, but just hard to like understand where the other is coming from sometimes, and having like maybe anxiety about the relationship. Also, their synastry is so crazy with him being born on a solar eclipse and her being born on the lunar eclipse. And it's also interesting that they both have Mars and Libra, even though they're born about 6 months apart. And it was because Mars was retrograde in 1982 in Libra. So she was born first before Mars stationed retrograde. And then he was born after, once Mars was direct again. So they have that similar way of...
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe not being the best about approaching conflict with each other, because it's both that, like the Mars and Libra, afraid of upsetting the other person.
There's also... I did a pretty deep dive on Reddit, and I know that is not the source of truth. So all this comes with like a big giant asterisk. But a lot of people... have said, and this is like, this can be corroborated with facts, that William has a really bad temper. And I'm curious, because when you're like, oh, Mars in Libra, like, does that, but people say that he has been physically and verbally abusive to people close to him, like especially Prince Harry. Some friends have come out and said that, like, when he gets drunk, it's all bets are off. Like, I'm very curious to see, like, do you see that in his chart? Yeah. Or
is a 12th house midheaven, which is, I mean, it's rare for people, but yeah, his 12th house midheaven sort of conceals his reputation, but his Mars and his 11th house, so his friends know it.
Right.
I would also add in like the Sun, Moon, and North Node in his natal 8th house. Like, that's a lot of control. like feeling like he needs to be in control over situations and getting very emotionally worked up, especially because it's in this like moody sign of Cancer are out of his control.
Yeah. And like, obviously he has a life that he can't control at all. Like he almost has no control over his life. So I can't even imagine how he would lash out at the being so upset at that.
I was shocked to find that out.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really know much about the royals, I guess, but he just looks like a person who doesn't yell.
I know. He's like been trained his whole life, right? He's the future king of England, and he might be king sooner than we think, depending on how King Charles, how bad his cancer actually is.
Yeah.
And he's a Leo rising too.
Oh.
They've got the same transits going on.
Oh.
Interesting.
Oh, that's like really interesting.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is like very, again, all speculation. We don't want to get sued by anyone in the royal family. We're just looking at charts, spewing what we've heard in the media. Okay. So that's how they get along. But let's look at their composite chart to see what their relationship is like right now and what transits are affecting them currently.
Okay. So the composite chart has a Libra rising, Saturn and Mars in Libra, and Venus, Mercury, and the Sun in Aries on the descendant. And then
I was shocked when I saw this composite.
Yeah, it's so cardinal. And it's getting hit so hard.
Yeah, the transits that are going on.
So I looked up, they met in fall 2001 after a Capricorn lunar eclipse at 13 degrees. And then they were married in 2001 after a Capricorn solar eclipse at 13 degrees. So I think that's interesting. Their moon in Cancer, or it's opposite their moon in Cancer. Their moon's in the 10th house conjunct the north node. So again, the 10th house being the house of publicity and reputation, their relationship is under a microscope. And the ascendant is conjunct Pluto in Libra. So this is a power couple. But then there are both malefics there in the first house in Libra. So that's just putting a lot of pressure on them to maintain harmony and keep up appearances, as Libra risings or any sort of Libra placement might feel pressured to do. And the Sun's exalted in Aries in the seventh house, so that's a strong relationship identity. There's confidence in the relationship, but they also both have like a role to play. And I think I'm almost positive I learned from one of your posts that when you did a study about composite charts and like eclipses happening in the first and seventh house indicated people spending more time together.
I think I did either a podcast or a reel on that. But yeah, transits to the composite first and seventh are just major turning points in the relationship.
Okay, so they're having that now. And that was actually one of the things that got me like looking at composite charts. So yeah, they have Mars and Saturn in the first house and the Sun, Mercury and Venus in the seventh house. And so this is just increasing the impact of the transiting eclipses to these houses. All these planets are getting hit. The South Node is transiting the first house, Mars and Saturn. So again, they both feel pressure right now. And maybe they're seeking to like decrease the pressure or escape it or relieve it. And the North Node transiting the seventh house is testing their trust and their bond. And I guess probably also the identity of the relationship might be like majorly tested right now.
Yeah, I'm so curious to see what happens around the time of these eclipses hitting the first and seventh house in the spring. Also, Chiron coming up on the descendant. It's not quite there yet. So that leads me to think there's just like more to work through in the relationship in the coming years with that Chiron transit to a descendant in a composite chart. It's just there's a lot of anxiety that comes up around a relationship or a need to work through things that have been left ignored previously. Like you have to get all these emotions out into the open.
And we all get to watch.
Yeah.
Pluto is also transiting Aquarius on their IC. So this is testing the strength of, you know, the foundation as a couple. They have a fifth house IC. So I guess the children could be incorporated as well. Maybe pressure is on them too. They have Mercury in Aries in their seventh house. And so from March 10th to May 15th, Mercury will be in Aries and it will retrograde from April 1st to April 25th. So that's right, like in the middle of the or around the eclipses. So this is either maybe keeping them in the news or in major discussions, or maybe they're having a lot of conversations, but it would be, this might just be like the beginning of something, I guess. And they also are having their Jupiter opposition. So Jupiter in Taurus is transiting the eighth house opposite the composite Jupiter in Scorpio. So this is calling for a compromise and more equal contribution. And the Jupiter Uranus conjunction is on their composite Chiron on April 21st. So that could be a plot twist or more Chiron stuff like you just said.
I think it's so interesting. You mentioned this briefly, like how their relationship has developed with the cardinal sign eclipses, like how they met with the Cancer Capricorn ones. They got married under the Cancer Capricorn ones 9 years after that. And then in 2013, they had their first child with the Aries Libra eclipses starting up that year again. So the fact that, like, going back the last time they had a similar transit like this to their composite chart was when they had their first child together. It's like something huge like that is probably likely Whoa. To take place.
That's
obviously probably not having another kid, but like a shift in the relationship where they have to relate to each other in a different way.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh my God. That's wild.
Wow. Yeah. Ooh. I'm seeing if I had more about just her transits in general, like to her birth chart. Like she has Saturn's moved into Pisces, her eighth house, and it's still there until February 2026.
Ooh.
And then we also have that upcoming Pisces lunar eclipse, which will hit her eighth house in the fall. And those just eighth house transits in general, and especially major ones like Saturn and an eclipse there, that tends to be a make it or break it time for a relationship. And there's often a lot of stress going on. I see this when people go to couples therapy to work through their issues. It's definitely common with divorce. Ultimately, I don't think they're going to get divorced this year, but I do feel like they're having to deal with like the messier side of their relationship. They're having to have a lot of tough conversations, and there's just increased stress, and like learning how to communicate better with each other is probably happening. And maybe also conflict surrounding shared finances or shared assets, probably like family money involved. Going back to the solar return for 2024, she had a lot going on in the fourth house in that solar return chart, including Mars there. And that just shows me kind of conflict or fighting within the family. And that might be tied into this money aspect or something with shared resources going on.
The North Node will also enter Pisces 2 days after her birthday next year. So it probably, I mean, it won't be in her solar return, but having that, like she's just clipping that transit or just missing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
And also, like you mentioned this in terms of health, but like how she's in a seventh house perfection year right now, ruled by Saturn. So like that Saturn transit through Pisces just becomes that much more important. And it's just a heavier year, like a back-to-back Saturn perfections. Like she had one in 2023, now we're here in 2024. Those are really tough two-year periods. And this one's more about like the relationship.
Yeah. And Saturn will still be transiting Pisces when she enters her Pisces year. So she's sort of getting a triple,
triple
whammy.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh.
And she's got the secondary progress moon entering the seventh house in a few months from now in 2024. So it's like there's so much. It's like the seventh house perfection, the secondary progress moon moving into the seventh, the ruler of the seventh being affected by eclipses right now. Everything's pointing to seventh house yeah. being like the main theme for this year.
Man, what a doozy. Like her health stuff seems so serious. Like, and adding all of this on, it seems like all of the things she's probably pushed aside for so long are just coming to a head right now.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
What is also like so interesting, I did like a little more digging with the secondary progress chart, and they got married when she had the progress moon in Leo, opposite to the progress sun in Aquarius, so across her first and seventh houses. So that was like a big culmination event involving the relationship. Like she had a ton of attention on her because of that wedding. And now here we are, like almost 14 years later, and she's coming up on that progress new moon that will take place, I think, in the seventh house too. So it's a closing out of like this cycle that's been going on for the last several years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's more of a, when you get that new moon in the progress chart, which only happens once every 30 years or so. So this is major that she's getting it in the next couple of years. It's just a time when you want to be alone a lot more. Like you don't have as much going on. There's usually a closing out of something, like one chapter of your life to get prepared for the next three decades. So I'm so curious to see what that new chapter is for her.
But besides all the potential relationship drama, the UK press has been covering Kate in a really weird way. Like, the reports are generally positive, but the tone and the imagery are, like, just not adding up.
Yeah, and also, like, this is coming from some reporters that are actually tight with the palace, so it's, like, weird when you think, you know, they're going out of their way to compare Kate to, like, Diana's mental health issues and, you know, just using images that aren't flattering and, you know, putting out stories that are later retracted or changed. So it's all sus.
They're like, oh, Prince William, like, flees to be near Kate's side. And then it's a picture of him looking at her really, like, meanly. And they're standing really far apart. Like, it's just, like, a weird, like, why are they choosing these images? But this brings us to today, which on March 4th, we finally got that blurry proof of life photo we had all been waiting for. So, Dana, Alice, what was going on in her chart on March 4th?
Yeah, well, I saw the Venus exactly, or, like, right on her descendant first. And so Venus transiting her descendant, like, puts her sort of in a vulnerable position. And it also rules her 10th house midheaven. And so I just feel like all of a sudden, like, she's not really in control of what's being talked about. Her relationship is being talked about. She's leaving the hospital and everyone's, like, talking about her. And
yeah, I see her being, like, really, she's going through, like, a mental health period right now with all of the Sun and Mercury and Saturn all clustered in the 8th house. Like, she's definitely not taking this easily. Even though the story came out while the moon was still in Sagittarius, it was talked about a lot the next day, and that by then the moon had moved into Capricorn and was coming up on her chart ruler, the Sun in Capricorn. So that made a lot of sense of, like, why she was suddenly being talked about more for, like, a couple day period.
I mean, also, I guess, yeah, Chiron, if we're going to go hard on her mental health, Uranus on Chiron is, like, definitely making things probably, like, less predictable just in general for everyone, but also probably for herself.
And you can sometimes, the seventh house in more, like, negative situations can be, like, open enemies. So having, like, Mars go through the seventh, it's, like, people, like, working against her, like the press in this case, people, like, kind of speculating and having, like, all these opinions about her personal life. She doesn't like that.
Yeah.
And who does like that?
Yeah. Awful. So obviously this has been a very scandalous time for Kate. It's dredged up some topics the palace probably, you know, didn't want to be brought up. So what do we think is ahead for Kate and her relationship with William?
I think there'll be some type of turning point at this next pair of eclipses at the end of March. March 25th is that lunar eclipse in Libra, and then April 8th is the solar eclipse in Aries. So I feel like some type of development, more major development, will happen in this story around then. I don't see, like, the relationship suddenly becoming totally easy anytime soon, but I would not say it's headed for, like, a breakup, especially, like, looking ahead to this summer. William has Jupiter entering his seventh house when Jupiter moves into Gemini at the end of May, and that'll be a year-long transit, end of 2024 into early 2025. So that kind of shows me that there are possibly improvements to the relationship coming. And then also looking at her solar return for January 2025, she has Jupiter on the descendant in that one. So it kind of shows me that things might be headed in a more positive direction. But it'll take some work and a lot of effort on their part to get there.
Sort of already discussed this, but her progress moon enters Aquarius, which is her seventh house, on May 14th. Mm-hmm. And so the progress moon changes signs every 2 years, and it shows what themes are significant in a person's life by sign and house. And so in the seventh house, of course, it's about her marriage. And it also crosses her natal Mercury on November 14th and her natal Venus on December 13th. So the end of the year will be significant for her. And then she has her progressed Mercury return on September 5th, 2024, and her progressed Saturn return on January 18th, 2025. So that's interesting that they're so close to each other. Just generally, I think this will be, I mean, maybe it'll be, like, a really internal process, but in, like, progressed returns are about sort of, like, locking in and remembering who you are, or, like, getting to sort of fulfill your potential in a way that progressed retrograde planet had maybe impeded your ability to. And then now here is the biggest thing I found. So I checked her zodiacal releasing, and she begins a new level one cooldown period in her lot of Eros on May 28th, 2024. So zodiacal releasing, that breaks down your life into chapters. And so the lot of Eros reveals major chapters in a person's love life. So she started a new level one buildup period on in Libra on September 26, 2001. So Libra is a sign of relationships, and the buildup periods are when, you know, I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like, the energy or the story is building. So that was right when she went to college and met William, literally like maybe by the month. And then her next level one was a major peak period in Scorpio that began August 15th, 2009, which was just under a year before they were engaged. And that will end on May 28th. So this is when she's entering a cool down period in Sagittarius. So it just indicates that the relationship is for sure evolving. Like if the eclipses didn't confirm it, there's just sort of a lot of confirmation, I guess, in many ways.
We also didn't talk about the kids chart. I meant to mention that, but like it also points in their children's charts that their parents are probably going through a difficult period as well. Like their daughter has the eclipses across the 10th and the 4th houses right now. And that one is always challenging with changes going on in the family. And then Prince George has the eclipses across his 12th and 6th house, which is even harder. And then also transit Saturn is quickly approaching his IC in Pisces. So that both of those show me.
And he's the oldest, right?
Yeah. So,
he probably knows more also like of what's going on. He's a little more perceptible to like potential issues in his family.
True. And Saturn to the IC is like one of the hardest transits you can have. Like it just, there's so much tension and like responsibility and kind of stress coming from family and home.
Oof. Man, oh man.
Yeah.
Not to be like a doomsday sayer, but there was like some kind of, wasn't an astrologer, but some type of like religious or spiritual figure back in like the 1550s predicted that this King Charles would be the shortest reigning monarch.
Oh my God.
And I'm like,
what mechanism did he predict?
I don't know, but I'm just saying. And that's why people were like really freaked out by this cancer diagnosis.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Charles is so freaked out. True. I'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah, right.
Oh God, I know. But like on a lighter note, the funny memes about this are like when you see people saying that Queen Camilla is like salt burning the royal family. Like this is a plan.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
100%.
God, she doesn't have that much power, but it is pretty good. Well, wow. There's so many things we need to keep an eye out for, but this just does not seem like an easy year ahead for Kate, but it doesn't mean that it's all bad. So fingers crossed that they kind of work through their issues and everything's okay and that she can find time to deal with this and her health and all of the above.
I just feel like summer, like that's when things are going to turn around for her or there's a different energy.
Good. Okay. Dana, what do you think?
May 28th is just like, it's sort of the a level one in zodiacal releasing is like really big. So a new level one is significant.
All right. May. She's got a couple hard months ahead, but May, end of May, summer will be a good time for her. But well, yeah. Thank you so much, Alice, for coming on. This was such a treat for us.
Oh my God.
Will you remind people where they can find you if they want to follow you and where they can buy your book?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. This was so fun to talk about. You can buy my book, Trust Your Timing, wherever you buy books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever. You can find me on Instagram at StalkAlice. I also have a Substack, Astrology with Alice, and my podcast is called Astrology with Alice, too. So
I've been loving your Substack.
Oh, love hearing that.
Love it.
You're great. You're like so brilliant.
Oh my God, thank you.
You said that like
I had today.
Fangirling, okay?
Yes, fangirling.
I love my Leo rising, loves it.
Well, we are so happy that we got to chat with Alice. She's great. Everyone should give her a follow and buy her book. But if you've stayed this late into the episode, you are in for a big old treat because we have a season 7 announcement. Yes, that's right. Season 7
is
coming. Drum roll, please. In May. So we are so close to a season 7. We are gathering all our topics. We are just pumped to start up again. And so if you guys have any topics you want us to discuss, please send us a DM. We love hearing from you guys. Allegedly Astrology on Instagram. And with that, I'm Elise.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is Allegedly Astrology.
Oh, also, if you want to listen to us more and not just when we're in season, you should follow us on Patreon because we always post episodes there every month.
For $5 a month, you get 2 extra episodes, which is a pretty banging good deal in this economy.
Less than I pay for my Starbucks coffee because it has cold foam. And you know what? I'm fine paying that amount.
I don't even get cold foam. Yes. Mine is 5.
More Allegedly Astrology content is at your fingertips. So don't hesitate to go to our Patreon and check it out. But thank you guys so much. And we'll see you in May.
Bye.
Patronize us.
Cheerio.